blessing his son. In 27 of chapter 27 of Genesis, we have the story of Isaac bestowing the blessing on Jacob. Now, it was intended for Esau because Esau was the eldest son, but Jacob steals it. It was intended to be passed down to the eldest son. They would receive a blessing. They would receive a particular blessing, and then they would, in doing so, that individual would now become sort of the head of the family. The father would pass this on toward the end of his life. We see this in the life of Isaac. You can look at, there's a blessing that Joseph does on the sons of, I'm sorry, that Jacob does on the sons of Joseph there toward the end of Genesis as well, where he blesses Manasseh and Ephraim. And so we see here, you may have known or you may know that Isaac and Rebekah have two sons. They're twins. There's Esau and Jacob. Esau is the eldest by a few moments, but he is the eldest, and they are nothing alike. Esau is kind of a rough and tough man's man. He's an outdoorsman. He's a hairy guy. He's someone who likes to hunt. Like today, you'd be a hunter and a fisherman, and he just loves the outdoors. He's even said by his father, he's described as someone who smells of outside. And that's a good thing for Jacob, or in Jacob's mindset. And then you've got Isaac's mindset. In Jacob, you have a son who is kind of a weasel. He's a thief. He's someone who's going to take advantage of you if he has a chance. We see that throughout most of his life, that he's someone who does that. You see someone who is a homebody. He's more of a mama's boy. He is his mother's favorite child, the same way that Esau's favorite is Isaac's favorite is Esau. Keeping all these names straight is kind of difficult. But anyway, so you have these two boys. Isaac is getting older. He is blind now. His eyesight has diminished quite a bit. He can't see, and he decides, now it's time for me to pass on the blessing to the oldest child. And this was a Jewish father's blessing. So it was an important aspect of their culture. It was an important aspect of what they do. It was a formal passing down of the father's honor to the son. He was passing down his honor. He's passing down his authority. And since the oldest is now going to assume leadership of the family, he's now going to assume responsibilities over the family or tribe. He's going to also receive a double portion of the father's inheritance. So because he's in charge of this, because it's his job to keep the family together, because it's his responsibility to watch over the family, he gets a double portion of what is to have there. So this act is a very important aspect of their life. Now, in our culture, we don't really have a formal blessing. But there are aspects of the blessing that I'm going to get to in a moment that are important to us still today. Let's look at verses 2 through 4, and you'll see what Isaac tells Esau. He says, "Look, I am old and do not know the day of my death. Take your hunting gear, your quiver and bow, and go out into the field to hunt some game for me. Then make me the delicious food that I love and bring it to me to eat so that I can bless you before I die." So Esau leaves. He goes out. He's going to go hunting. And when he goes out, his mother, Rebekah, has overheard this by her husband, Isaac. And so what she does, she schemes with Jacob to steal the blessing. And so she is going to say to Jacob, "Hey, go out, butcher a goat, get it ready. I'll cook some stew that your father likes, and we're going to give it to him. You're going to go in, and you're going to get the blessing." She sends him off with the food, after she puts on some goat skins and hairy on his arms and hands so that he feels like Jacob, and maybe even the outdoorsy smell of Esau's clothes that he puts on will remind his father make his father think that it's Esau. He goes inside with this food. And so imagine here Jacob going in wearing Esau's clothes, and he also has this false hair on his arms and on his hands so that if his father touches him, he'll feel Esau, and so that he thinks that it's Esau and that he's going to bless Esau. And so the mom, Rebekah, and Jacob scheme together to steal this blessing. So let's look at verse 19 and 20. So Jacob goes in and he says to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may bless me." But Isaac said to Jacob, "How did you ever find it so quickly, my son?" He replies, "Because the Lord your God worked it out for me." Scheming, lying little sucker. Verse 21 says, "Then Isaac said to Jacob, 'Please come closer so that I can touch you, my son. Are you really my son Esau or not?' So Jacob came closer to his father Isaac, and when he touched him, he said, 'The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau.' He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau, so he blessed him." So Isaac kind of is getting the drift that something is not right here. You don't sound like Esau, but you smell like him, and you've cooked me food like him, and you say you're him, so I'm going to go ahead and bless you. The blessing is given in verse 27 through 29. It says, "So he came closer and he kissed him. When Isaac smelled his clothes, he blessed him and said, 'Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give to you from the dew or the sky and from the riches of the land an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brothers. May your mother's sons bow down to you. Those who curse you will be cursed, and those who bless you will be blessed." So after he receives the blessing, Jacob leaves. And then not long after that, here comes Esau, totally oblivious to what has gone on. He comes in and he has the game that he's killed. He has the game that he has prepared. He's ready to receive his father's blessing. And then verse 33 and 34 says, "Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably. 'Who was it then,' he said, 'who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it all before you came in, and I blessed him. Indeed, he will be blessed.' When Esau heard his father's words, he cried out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me too, father. Bless me too.'" A man by the name of Dr. Gary Smalley, who is who wrote several books. One book that he wrote is called The Blessing. And in it, he identifies four areas or in four ingredients that he says that ought to be present in a blessing today and ought to be present in the family today. And so what I want to do is, as our children grow up and as we practice these things, I want us to think about these four aspects, these four ingredients of a blessing, and how we as fathers particularly, but as a family together, are to practice these different ingredients. If these ingredients are absent from the home, too often we end up with an Esau who is steeped in bitterness, who is angry, who doesn't quite understand or know that his father really loves him and cares about him. But if we can practice these four ingredients that we find in this blessing here in Scripture, I think it's important for us to pass on to our children and to make them and help them grow in their godliness. So what I want to do is in the next few minutes give you these four ingredients that make up the blessing and the Jewish blessing. These are coming from Scripture. These are coming from the blessing that we see here that Jacob is given by Isaac. And these are similar that what we can do as fathers for our children. The first thing or the first ingredient is a meaningful touch. The first ingredient to the blessing is a meaningful touch. Jacob tells him to come closer. Or Isaac tells Jacob to come closer there in verse 22. And he touches him. Verse 26 says that he says, please come closer and kiss me, my son. So the idea of a meaningful touch, not just a touch that is in passing, but something, a touch that conveys I care, a touch that conveys that I love you. And so we want to see in Scripture here that almost every time a blessing is bestowed in this Hebrew culture, it involves a touch. It involves the laying on of hands. It often involves a kiss. It often involves an embrace. It is something that conveys acceptance. It's something that conveys love. And sometimes we as fathers or as men will say, well, I'm not a touchy-feely type of guy. I'm not a man who shows my affection. Well, shame on you. You need to be someone who is meaningful in the way you show affection. And your children need your affection. Your children need your love. Your children need your physical touch. And so the first aspect here is the meaningful touch. If you look in the book of Mark, chapter 10, it's a story of the mothers who are bringing their children to Jesus. It says that Jesus took them and he placed them on his lap and he blessed them. So Jesus gives them this meaningful touch, this ability to sit on his lap, this ability to be embraced, and then he blesses them. It's important that we find this in our homes too. That children are able to understand and they are communicated to by our physical touch. Oftentimes, small children don't really communicate through speech because they don't understand yet and they can't articulate back to you. So we say, I love you to them, but they don't really get that. But how do they know that you love them? Is when you pick them up and you hug them and when you hold them close when they're scared or when they're afraid or when they're hurting, you hold them and you take care of them, involves this physical touch. Jacob is 40 years old when he receives this blessing. And as an older man, not old, but as an older man, it's still important to have a physical touch if you have that father that's in your life or that father figure. It's still good to embrace your dad. It's still good to embrace someone who is even an adult that you love and show them in this meaningful way that you have affection for them. So the first ingredient is this meaningful touch. The second ingredient is a spoken message of affection and love. A spoken message of affection and love. The second ingredient here we see when Jacob says, you have the smell of my son is like the smell of a field. Now again, most of us would not say, ooh, thanks for the compliment, Dad. You smell like outside, you know. When someone says you smell like outside today, if my wife says, oh, you smell like outside, it's not a compliment. It's go take a shower, you stink. But for Jacob and for Isaac, the smell of outside was a good thing. It was a compliment to Jacob, who he thought was Esau. It was a wonderful thing because Isaac loved outside. Outside is what reflected the things that he cared about. He cared about the game. He cared about the hunting. He cared about these wild animals and being able to eat them. I can imagine when Isaac is younger, he's probably a lot like Esau, that him and Esau spent a lot of time together going hunting, going fishing, going take care of things and being outside. And today would be like a dad outside fixing things or cutting the grass or going fishing, going hunting with their sons. And they spend a lot of time outside. So when he says, "You smell like outside," this is a compliment. This is a spoken message of love and affection. "You smell like outside," and you can add, "and I love it." Too often we as parents are quick to criticize. Too often we are quick to give the negative instead of the positive. Too often we're quick to say something like, "You dummy, you spilled the milk. Hurry up and clean it up." Or, "You're lazy," or, "You're too fat," instead of the compliment. Words of criticism that don't really accomplish much, and all they do is cause the child to withdraw. How many of you like to be criticized? Nobody does. And if that's all you hear and that's all you give as criticism, then people don't tend to want to be around you. There's room for constructive criticism. I'm not saying don't try to mold and don't try to change your children, but it's more important that you communicate love through your words. How many times have you told your child that you're proud of them? Now you may say, "Oh, they know that I'm proud of them." Do they? It's good to hear it. It's good to be told, "I'm proud of you. You've done good. You've done well." Spoken words that communicate acceptance and love is what our children need to hear. And they need to be spoken over and over and over again, especially when our children stumble and especially when they fall. They need to know that they can get up and get back in it. The third ingredient that we have here as part of a blessing is the attributing of a high value. Attributing high value. The third ingredient here is attributing high value. Look in verse 28. It says, Isaac says, "May God give you from the dew of the sky and from the richness of the land an abundance of grain and new wine." He's saying, "May God bless you richly. You have high value because God cares about you." He's saying, "You're special. Because you're special, God will bless you. And God has the best for you." We're constantly being told that we should teach our children to have a good, positive self-image or to build up their self-esteem. And what's important is to teach our child, "You're valuable because God has made you in His image. You're valuable and you're important, so much so that God Himself came down to our world and He died for you. He died on the cross to forgive your sins. That's how valuable you are." And they need to know that their value. It's not just by words. We teach a high value in a number of ways. We teach high value when it comes to how much time we give our children. If a child comes to you and wants to talk to you and you got one eye on the game and one eye on the child or one eye on the newspaper and one eye on the child, and what you're communicating is, "You're not really important right now. I would rather be doing this. I would rather be watching TV, or I'd rather be reading the paper." Give them your full attention. Communicate that they have high value. They're more important than the ball game. They're more important than what you're reading. And that if they need to talk about something, you're there to listen for them. There are often times that they may have something to tell you that, or a story to tell you that you're not really interested in, but you give them your attention because they have that value in your life. the last thing I want to talk about this morning, the last ingredient is a picturing of a glorious future. The picturing of a glorious future. The fourth ingredient we find in verse 29 where Jacob says, "May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brothers. May your mother's sons bow down to you. Those who curse you will be cursed and those who bless you will be blessed." He says, you have high value. You have a high value and you have a glorious future. That because you are God's child, because you are loved by Him, because you are blessed by Him, He has the best for you. Isaac is helping him to raise his sights about his future. He wants him to go for the best. He wants him to go for all he can be and not settle for just anything. We often read in Proverbs that we should train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. And while we attribute that to a spiritual aspect, which I think is proper, there's also a practical aspect as well, where we're training the child to do something, where maybe we're helping them find their niche in society, helping them find their niche in the family. And each child is going to be different. Each child is going to have a different niche. Each child is going to have a different set of likes and dislikes. And each child is going to have a different set of attributes that are different to that person versus the next. But we are to help them find their place. That God has made them special and He's put them in this world for a special reason. The mistake most of us do, though, is we try to make our children be what we want them to be and not necessarily what God wants them to be. We try to mold them in our image instead of God's image. So today, as we think about this, as we think about the mortar that holds together the family, these four aspects, the meaningful touch, a special message of love and affection, giving them a high value, and picturing them having a glorious future. Today, dads, I hope that you do this, whether it's in a formal blessing, that you put your hands on your child and you do these four things. Maybe you want to reread this story here in verse chapter 27 and create your own blessing for each of your children and pray it over them. And no matter how old your child is, give them a meaningful touch. Have a spoken message over them that's full of love and affection. Let them know that they have a high value and help them see their glorious future. Let me pray for us as we close. Father God, thank you for this day. I thank you for loving us and being with us and being the perfect Father for us. That you cared so much for us that you gave your only son to die on the cross for us. That you loved us so much. You said that we have so much value and that we have such a glorious future that you gave us your only son so that we can know you and have relationship with you. Father, I pray that we would not take advantage of that, that we would not see that as something to be understood lightly. But we would understand the magnitude of that, and that you'd be glorified in our lives because of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.